see all of you here as we come in this place of worship. I'm really excited about what God is doing among us. I think we can pretty much agree that we live in a very sports-saturated area and a sports-saturated culture. It's interesting, and don't you think it's interesting that the average professional athlete makes more than the President of the United States? I mean, really. I mean, let's get real. And coaches of different sport teams who play for and major universities often earn more than the college professors in those universities. Athletic events have that ability to attract lots of people. They come to stadiums, they go to golf courses, they go to racetracks. Athletic events also have that ability to make the headlines. They make headlines even when things like, when there's trade wars going on, when there are eruptions in the Middle East, when there's shootings going on in our country, even as close as Philadelphia. I think that sporting and athletic events have made headlines even before there were headlines on newspapers. And in this respect, I believe our world is not so different than the world of Jesus, or the world that we hear about in our Hebrews lesson that we read just a few moments ago. Because in those days, every major city within the Roman Empire had a gigantic sports stadium, what they might call a hippodrome. And our Hebrews text brings us to chapter 12, and in this area, and in this time, even though communication was very, very primitive, people knew what was going on. Everybody knew. Because athletic contests were important. Olympic games were important. And whoever was running became a national hero. As a matter of fact, I did a little reading and found that Emperor Cicero got ticked off. He grumbled. Why did he get ticked off and grumble? Well, it turns out that after the Olympic event, a winner from Rome came back to Rome, and he was greeted with such applause and cheering that it was much more applause and cheering that he himself had gotten after coming back from a war. I think it's amazing just to show you that sports can sometimes even trump national events. Well, right in the middle of a sports-minded culture, our writer from the book of Hebrews gives us a challenge and some words of comfort. We find in these words, and you can see them in your bulletin, they pulsate with great power as they say, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And it's important for us to recognize that we are runners in the race. you and me. I can almost hear God calling out to us like a coach, runners, take your mark. If you have a Bible with you, you might be able to flip to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 at verse 24. That's Bible page 957. Paul writes here, and he says, run the good race. And I suspect that if Paul is setting us up here, like the writer of Hebrews, and he tells us to run a good race, that there must be a bad race as well. What's the difference between a good race and a bad race? Well, a good race has all to do with running with purpose and the power of God toward a heavenly goal. And I guess the bad race would be a race that is misdirected and is all about puffing up ourselves about how important that we are. Well, today, I want to share with you some tips on running the good race, okay? As the track official would say, runners, take your mark. Well, the first tip that I want to share to you about running the good race is to take a look behind you and around you. I want to remind you that the writer here says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, this is mysterious and it is very special at the same time. God is trying to tell us that we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. So let's look back. As we look back in history, we find that there have been so many people who have believed in God. We call them heroes of the faith. Chapter 11, if you just go back one chapter in the Bible, you can read about a number of different heroes in the faith. We hear about people like Abraham. We hear about people like Noah and Moses. We hear about those different prophets. We even hear about a prostitute that listened to God and gave advice, military advice, for God's people so that they could come into Jericho. You know, I want you to think for a moment. Have there been some spiritual people in your past who have given you encouragement? Think about it. Was it a parent? Was it a grandparent or an uncle or some other kind of person? Maybe it was a Sunday school teacher, but I think that what is important for us to grasp here is the fact that most of us wouldn't be here had it not been for people who have been behind us. People who have made a real difference in our lives, our faith lives. And we're really indebted to that. So if you're going to run in a race, remember there's people behind you, but I also want to say, take a look around you. Because this cloud of witnesses also includes people to your left and to your right. Did you know that living the life of faith is not a solo sport? We do it together. And I think this is one of the things that we in the church really need to learn. And we need to learn this lesson better. So I want you to take a moment right now and just take a look to your left, to your right, and then find a person and say, hi there, partner. Can you do that right now? You see, these people matter. God's people are connected with one another. We are partners with each other. And our job is to encourage one another in the Christian faith. And so this is a real blessing. The second point I want to share with you is that running the good race demands preparation with prayer. Prayer is God's way of listening to us and God's way of saying, I want to bless you. I want to give you strength. I want to give you encouragement. All through the scriptures, we hear that God's people have this practice of offering up their prayers to God. The early church had to do battle against the power of Rome. And they could have said, we can't win this race. We might as well pack our bags and turn around and forsake this faith that we have been given, this resurrection of Jesus from the dead. It's just not going to stand in today's culture. But what they did is that they prayed to the Lord. And they remembered that they weren't in this alone. They looked behind themselves and remembered all those fathers in the faith that had been there before, and they looked to the left and to the right of them, and they recognized they had the encouragement of their brothers and sisters. The early church had no sanctuaries beautiful like this. No pews. No printing presses. No hymnals. No radio. No television. No musical instruments the way we have them. But I believe the real difference is that they believed in the power of prayer. I'm so glad about our congregation here at Hope. This church continues to amaze me with the kind of things that bubble up, one of which is prayer. Did you know that we have this little booklet here called Portals of Prayer? You can find them just out here. They're free, okay? They've got daily devotionals in them. And what you get in there is a little Bible passage and then a little explanation of it and a little prayer at the bottom. And it's meant to help you get into God's Word daily and to have a prayer with God. I mean, it's not a big deal. It's just there for you as an encouragement. And in your bulletin, I'm not sure that we got our regular bulletins there. Did we get our regular bulletins? You got one? Okay. If you take a look on the back side of your bulletin, you're going to see a whole bunch of things on prayer. Those are people that we pray for, and there are instructions about how you can pray for somebody or something, and you'll find a whole bunch of people here in our congregation who want to pray. You can also, if you like, be a part of what we call a prayer chain, okay? So chains involved. What it really is you get on an email list, okay? And when an email comes to your inbox, you can pray for that particular person. And so if you want to sign up so that you can pray too, you can be part of that prayer chain. It's really rather wonderful. And then we have monthly prayer meetings where people get together one time during the day, one of those meetings in the nighttime, and people come together for the purpose of prayer. It's structured. Nobody has to do anything they don't feel comfortable with. And you spend an hour praying, and then you're gone, and you recognize, I just made a difference. I just made a difference doing something powerful, calling on God. It's really kind of neat. The third point I want to share to you is that running the race means that we'll lay aside every weight. Listen to what our scripture says. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Laying aside every weight. The Greek word for weight can mean body bulk. It can mean excess weight. But for spiritual athletes, I think we need to expand our definition of what does it mean to get rid of extra weight. For spiritual athletes, I think it can be too many irons in the fire in our lives. Or maybe it's too many sins that we've been holding on to that we need to get rid of. Or too many competing interests that suck energy from us. These are the things that weigh us down. During one summer of my seminary years, I went as a chaplain to a place called Philmont Scout Ranch. Anybody ever hear that? It's in New Mexico. Okay. It's kind of like a Boy Scout heaven, okay? And scouts come there from all over the United States, and you also find scouts from other countries to go there. It's 220 square miles of very rugged territory. They say that there's no level land in the scout ranch at all. And once the scouts arrive there, they go to a tent city where they experience what they call a shakedown event. And at this shakedown event, a ranger explains to them what the next 12 days of their life is going to look like. He says, everything that you have is you're going to be carrying on your back. Okay? So as you go, take away anything that you don't absolutely require. Because you're going to be traveling uphill most of the time. You're going to be traipsing in 100 degree weather. And you're going to be helping your partner. You're going to be sharing, carrying a two-person pup tent half of the time. And then every 4 days, you're going to be carrying the first aid kit for your group. The ranger then would lay out the trail that they were to travel, and he says, your goal for the next 4 days is getting to Mount Baldy. It's going to take one day to climb it. You'll have 1 day once you're up there, and then you'll have another 4 days to get back here. You see, laying aside extra weight is a lesson for us. Well, our Lord Jesus endured the cross for us. He went there. And that was a race of eternal proportions because he believed that the course that God, his heavenly Father, had set up for him was a worthy and a necessary goal. Jesus had his eye on the finish line. And we need to remember that as we run our race, that there's a finish line in our lives too, and that the Bible tells us that we are going to have a judgment at the end of our lives. And friends, we are not holy. We are sinners. But the good news is that God loves us, and that if God desires to forgive us and to take that weight off from us, that we don't need to run with that extra baggage, that extra weight in our lives. He wants to give us the freedom and the joy of knowing that we are not alone, and He wants us to welcome us at the right time to that place in heaven with Him. So now is the time to keep fit in faith. Now is the time to pray, not just for ourselves, but to pray for those we love, to pray for our family members, to pray for people that we know. Pray that God will use us to encourage other people in their spiritual race. So look behind you and around you. You've got a cloud of witnesses there to support you. God is here, and He gives us the power of prayer, and He gives us the ability to take off extra weights that hold us down. God has already won the race, and as you follow Him, know that you are going in a long line of champions. The world needs to know the good news of Jesus through you. So ready, set, go! Amen. Let's stand. Dear Heavenly Father, we lower our heads before You and confess that we have too often forgotten that we are Yours. Sometimes we carry our lives as if there was no God, and we fall short of being a credible witness to You. For these things, we ask for Your forgiveness, and we also ask for Your strength. Give us clear minds and open hearts, so we may witness to You in our world. Remind us to be who You would have us to be, regardless of what we are doing or who we are with. Hold us to You and build our relationship with You and with those You have given us on earth. Jesus, that champion who has gone before us, is risen from the dead. And by the command of my Lord Jesus, I announce the entire forgiveness of all your sins. Amen.